So if you have God's Word, a Bible, take it out, please. We're going to be in it today, looking at it, studying it, applying it, using it in our lives as individually, but also using it in our lives corporately as a body of believers together. So as we study church leadership, and we've studied church leadership, this is the third Sunday in the series on church leadership. If you have questions, if you have concerns, if you have things that you you have questions and things that you need answered, just feel free to write them down or ask one of the guys that speak from the front. We want to answer those questions. We want you to understand the reason we're studying through church leadership as well. So, and we're excited to be about that. And we're excited that God's Word explains that. And God's Word is absolute truth. It is the only truth. It comes from Him. So, church leadership qualifications is what was covered last week by Darren. Darren worked us through some scripture covering the qualifications of elders and deacons, reminding us that biblical local churches should have elders and deacons. That's the church leadership. That's what God designed. And they should have elders and deacons who know that no one qualifies apart from God in them and Christ in them and working through them. That's what qualifies these men to serve. And that the body of Christ is called to imitate these men as examples as well. So church leadership, we've covered the terms of church leadership. We've covered qualifications this week. We're going to look at the functions and roles of elders and deacons. So before we get started, I invite you to pray with me before we go. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your great love for us. You wrote the scriptures for us, been translated in our language to help guide us and direct us. Lord, give us the wisdom, the strength, and the faith to live by them, because it is the only truth. And now more than ever in our world today, we need the truth. Drive us to your word and to you constantly, because we need you. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word this morning and to study it. Open our hearts and our minds to the truths that are revealed in it, and help us to live by them and apply them in our own lives and in the body of the life of the body of Christ here at El Frida Baptist. And we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I have a question. Does anyone know the function or role of this object that I have in my hand? It is a wooden spoon. I didn't hear you, Norma.
I said absolutely.
You do?
I know the role.
Okay, what is the function and role of this?
To guide our younger people.
Yes, it is to guide our younger people into the right path that God has designed for them. And this is the applicator of those truths, right? Yes, I don't know how many of you have probably ever had this used on you, but in reality, that is not why this was created, I'm sure of it. And I tried to explain that to my mother lots and lots and lots of times as we were growing up. So, because I would use it, she would give it to me, and I would have to stir things for her. So I always thought that was the function or the role of this. But obviously, there are other aspects of this that have different functions and different roles as well. So just to clarify, I'm glad that all of the children have left so that they won't know that using it as a paddle or a correcting device is probably not what the function was, but it can function that way quite well. And most all of us in this room can attest to that as well. So we're talking about functions and roles of elders and deacons in our church leadership. And we want to know and understand those. But also, I want to read you an article about writing job descriptions. And this is a worldly article. When writing job descriptions, one of the hardest sections to write is the job responsibilities and essential functions. The purpose of this section is to define the work that needs to be performed in the role and the things an employee in the job will be accountable for. This section often ends up being exceedingly long and detailed list of tasks that is tough to maintain, but even tougher for an employee to remember and apply in their day-to-day work. So that's what someone writes about writing job descriptions. I thank God, I praise God, that He has written and has wrote the job description, the functions and roles for church leadership, elders and deacons. I praise God that it was not laid on the responsibility of a man. And I know all of you feel that same way. If God wrote it and God wrote the job description for those and the functions and roles for all of the church leadership. And those are the things that we're going to look at today. So there's really only 2 points in my outline. We're going to look at the role of the deacon, that'd be point one, and then the role of the elder as point two. Those are the only two offices of leadership God has designed for the local church. So the first one we're going to look at is the role of the deacon. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Praise God for His word that we have to guide us and direct us. Acts chapter 6, and we're going to look at the first 7 verses. Now at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against their native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12 summoned the congregation of disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, and a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. So this account marks the beginning of the office of deacon, or the role of the deacon. 7 men were set apart by the church, set apart to ensure that all of the widows within Jerusalem would receive enough food. They would be serving the widows. They served in this way so that the apostles were free to fulfill their primary responsibilities. And their primary responsibilities, we see there in Scripture in verse 4, it says, "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." So that's what we see there. And you need to notice that it does not say elders. It says apostles there. And we will address this when we get to the role of the elder as well. This is talking specifically about the apostles and the installation of deacons. But the word translated deacon literally means servant, which is exactly what deacons do. A deacon is an individual who meets certain character qualities, and we discovered those character qualities last week when Darren talked or preached from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. All of those qualifications to be a deacon are right there. That's the characteristic of those of a deacon. They're set apart by the church in order to handle specific physical needs or ministries within the church body. They are servants. They serve. They serve the church body. They serve the church body, and that church body also includes the elders. So that's what the deacons are serving. And they do that by tending to the practical and logistical needs of the church. Deacons do not lead or oversee the church. This is the role God has given to elders. They lead and oversee the church. Deacons humbly serve the church body by ensuring that all of these practical physical needs are met. And this allows the elders to devote themselves to their God-given role as leading and overseeing the church. But this is not to say that deacons are not involved in some of the same roles as the elders. Not saying that. And Scripture's not saying that. There obviously will be times where deacons' roles and elders' roles will overlap. But by and large, deacons handle the physical and logistical needs, and elders handle the spiritual matters of the church and the church body. And it is vitally important, and we know that from Scripture, that a godly group of deacons is absolutely necessary for elders to be effective in their roles. because then they can devote themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. So that is the role of the deacon. The role of the deacon is to serve the church body in these ways. So we move on to the second point of the outline. And just so you know, I know the first point went by real fast. That does not mean that the second point is going to go by that fast. Okay? I know I only gave you 2 points in the whole deal. So this will have a lot of multiple other points under that. But we want to look at the role of the elder. And we're going to look at 5 passages of Scripture to help us understand the role of the elder. So the first passage we want to look at is in 1 Peter. So turn with me to 1 Peter. Hebrew, James, Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I want to read the first 3 verses that Peter wrote there in chapter 5. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. Now, flock is the church body, the family that God has put into a local body of Christ. So, the first thing I want to address when we look here at 1 Peter is the apostles that I mentioned there in Acts chapter 6. Remember that it was the apostles that were talked about there, and the apostles were the ones that instituted the office of deacons. But the apostles here are, we see implied here in 1 Peter that the apostles are passing off church leadership or passing on church leadership to the elders. Because we see right there in verse 1, it says, therefore I exhort the elders, and this is Peter, exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder. He is an elder himself. It is implied that the elders had to be godly men, just like the apostles. And the apostles were passing on the baton of church leadership to the elders. So the apostles were men who knew the incarnate Christ, who witnessed the finished work of Christ, and interacted with Christ after his resurrection. That's what an apostle was. And after the death of the last apostle, which was John, we no longer have that office in the church. Scripture shows the apostles setting up the local church in Scripture, according to God's design, because we see it multiple times that Paul says to Timothy and to Titus, I left you here in Ephesus so that you could teach people how to do church. I left you in Crete so that you would set up elders in every church as well, in the church leadership, and set up the function of that. And as they did that, they founded that and founded the local church body, and they were passing on the role of leadership to the elder. And the elder becomes the church leadership, the new role of church leadership that the apostles had. So that helps us understand Acts chapter 6, right? Because the apostles were devoting themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, they've now passed that role on to the elders. So the elders are devoting themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, right? The spiritual matters of the church body. This does not mean that elders have apostolic gifts. Heal people, those kind of things. Those gifts have died or passed away with the apostles as well. But it does mean that the character, the qualities, the qualifications for an elder are as important as the apostles. That's what that means. God's word is serious about the qualifications for church leadership, and we need to take them seriously when we institute and appoint men into those roles in the church body. So that's what that means. And we look back at 1 Peter and we see some of the first functions and roles that the elders are to do. And we see their shepherd, watch over, and lead by example. And we see that all there in the Scriptures. It says, therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of sufferings of Christ and partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight and not under compulsion. And we jump down and it says, at the end of verse 3, it says, but proving to be examples to the flock. So to lead by example. We noticed that last week. Darren pointed some of that out in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. That is huge for a man to be able to say that. But that's what an elder is supposed to be able to say, is as I feel qualified and desire to serve God in this way, I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. We also know that none of us measure up this way outside of Christ. It's Christ in us, and the Spirit in us, that causes us to be able to do that. But most importantly, elders are to lead by example. Shepherd the church that God has given you, being examples to them. And this implies a couple things. First thing that it implies is that elders need to guard their own godliness and their own life. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, pay close attention to yourself and your teaching. So they need to be concerned. Elders need to be concerned about their godliness. Continue to live close to God. Continue to live a God-centered life on a day-to-day basis. Love your wife. Love your kids. Resist sin. And love people. Leading by example is implied there. This also leads to a second implication. Now, this is a very difficult thing for people to do. Live a transparent life. Transparency. Live a life where you're not afraid for other people to look in on you. Let people see you up close. So open up your life to the church family. Because when we lead by example, when we have that kind of life, people see how we handle stress. They see how we handle messy situations with people who aren't easy to love. They see how we handle our children. They see how you handle your money. They see how you handle it when you blow it, and how you humbly seek forgiveness. That's what leading by example is. If we don't lead by example with a transparent life, how are other people going to know how to live their life? Right? We need to let other people in and let them see how we handle life. That's what an elder does, according to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. They lead by example. The second passage of Scripture that we're going to look at is Acts chapter 15. Turn with me to Acts, and we're going to be there for the next two sections of Scripture that we're going to look at. But the first section is Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, and the whole section there is verses 2 through 23 that talk about elders and some of the functions and roles. But I want to read verses 1 and 2 and then jump over to verses 4 through 6. So in Acts chapter 15, we read verses 1 and 2. Some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders concerning this issue. So we jump over to verse 4, and we're going to look at 4 through 6. When they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. But some of the sect of Pharisees who had believed stood up, saying, it is necessary to be circumcised, to circumcise them and to direct them to observe the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. So they came together to look into this matter because there were some in the church there in teaching that Gentiles needed to be circumcised to be saved. And the apostles and elders came together to discuss it and to correct this wrong thinking. And when you read through the rest of the chapter, you see that they ended up sending men up to Jerusalem to talk about through that. So the elders were involved in direction and wisdom on doctrinal issues. Elders are involved in direction and wisdom on the doctrinal issues in the local church body. This is why it is so important for elders to be spiritually mature men, to know the Word, to rightly divide the Word of God, and to seek God's direction and God's wisdom on every decision they make, so that they can give others godly direction and godly wisdom. And we know that from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, that we need to be accurately handling the word of truth. That is, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." So elders need to be directing, giving direction and wisdom on doctrinal issues. And we know that from the scriptures here as well. And again, these scriptures that we're going over as we teach through this, you probably already been here when Darren taught or when I taught the first Sunday. But we're going to be here again because these are the sections of scriptures that talk specifically about church leadership and the role of the elder and what the elders do. So the third passage of scripture is Acts chapter 20. Just turn over a little bit to the right to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 30. Some of you might have a heading in your Bible that says "Farewell to Ephesus." But this is a section of scripture where Paul calls the elders of the church in Ephesus together, reminding them of their ministry as he says goodbye. It's interesting that this section of scripture, if you read down through the entire chapter from verse 17, it's another section of scripture that just is a picture of the apostles passing on that baton to the elders as church leadership, passing on the church leadership role to the elders, because Paul continues to go on and explain things to them as well. But I want to read verses 28 through 30 specifically when we talk about the functions and roles of the elder. "Be on guard for yourselves," this is verse 28, "be on guard for yourselves and for all of the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them." So we see there as Paul is interacting with these leaders and elders from Ephesus, that he exhorts them to guard and shepherd the flock of God, that the Holy Spirit has made them overseers of. So the Holy Spirit enables elders to be able to guard and to be able to shepherd and guard against those who will come in and guard against those that come from the church body who will speak perverse things and draw people away from the truth. So guard against false teachers, false teaching. Guard the church family, the church body. Wherever we read that flock, it's talking about the church family. Those are united at a local body of believers. But guard the church family against all false teaching that comes from outside and inside the church, that draws men and draws people away from the scriptures. Anything that is contrary to scripture is false teaching. And elders are to guard and shepherd the flock in that way, so that they understand what truth is. So that was the third passage of scripture that I want to look at. I want you to turn over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Some of you may recall we just recently went through 1 Timothy. I taught through 1 Timothy. You might recall when we taught through 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 is the one specifically that we want to look at. This is our fourth passage of scripture that we want to look at, is the functions and roles of those in church leadership as elders. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 says, "The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching." So preaching and teaching the Word of God is another function or role of the elder. And we look back at Acts chapter 6, and we can look back at Acts chapter 6 and apply that to the role of elder, because we now understand that the apostles were passing on that role to the elders. So it's speaking to the elders. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, to the ministry of the word. We will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, the preaching and teaching of God's word, the preaching and teaching of the truth. An elder must be able to teach. And we see that from 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. One of the qualifications for an elder is able to teach. Titus. And we will, when we get done with our church series and in the Christmas series, yes, that's what we're moving into next, just so you're aware. After that, we will go back to 2 Timothy and we'll work through 2 Timothy and Titus. So we'll speak on these things, but we want to mention this. In Titus chapter 1, verse 9, talking about the able to teach. Titus chapter 1, verse 9 says, holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. So again, it goes back to the point we just made about those who guard and shepherd the flock from false teaching, but also being able to teach. So elders are to be involved in the overall teaching ministry of the church body. And I want to explain some of those areas of the teaching ministry of the church. Elders need to be aware and involved in what's being taught through congregational singing. Because there are truths that are being taught through congregational singing. And I don't know if some of you were here, there was a song that we were singing that we realized was teaching wrong truth. And we stopped. The elders, the church leadership looked at that and looked through that, and we stopped singing that song. So elders are involved in what's being taught through the singing. And you, children, catch the things that are said in songs. Because my children, to this day, can recite verses that were put to music when they were 1, 2, 3 years old. And all of us can. When we think about music, music has a way of imprinting our heart and our mind in a different way with the truths. And so we need to make sure that we are imprinting our mind with the truth of God's word, even through our songs. So elders are involved in that. They're also involved in what's being taught in Sunday school and our Sunday school curriculum at the children level, at the adult level. Whatever's being taught, they're involved in that, in the choices of those things, because that's a part of the spiritual matter where people grow spiritually. They're also involved in children's church. Speaking of children's church, if there would be someone who would be so kind to go and grab those kids that are in children's church so that they can come and join us before we get to the end of the message, so that they can share in communion with us. That doesn't mean we're getting really close. Again, that is not a sign of that. That just means we don't want them interrupting when we get to that point. But they need to be involved in what's being taught in children's church. And the material that is being used in our children's church, every man involved in church leadership looked at that material, took that book, read through it, looked at it, and understand that it's the truth. That's what elders are involved in when it comes to preaching and teaching. They also listen close when they interact with each of us. When they talk, when they hear others talking about what they're reading scripturally on a day-to-day basis. They need to be aware of what's being studied in each individual's lives. That way, we can be aware of what people are spiritually feeding themselves. So those conversations are being keenly listened to. As elders preach and teach, the goal is Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see the goal of preaching and teaching. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. For the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. That is the goal of preaching and teaching, that it equips each of us to mature and become more like Christ and for service. That is the goal of that. So elders are involved in the preaching and teaching of God's word. And then we also see in James. So if you go over to James, this is the fifth and final passage that we're going to look at in James chapter 5. James is between Peter and Hebrews. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Then you must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. James chapter 5, verse 14 says that elders are to care for and pray with and pray for others. This implies that elders are more than teachers and overseers. They care for God's family individually. Elders are taking the baton from the apostles, and they're devoting themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word, but prayer for others, prayer for praying with them and praying for them and caring for them. Elders pray for the physical and spiritual needs of the church body, faithfully for the church family. Now you see why the role of the church elder is so important. Because you see that crowd of kids coming through that door? They need to be taught the truth, and someone needs to guard them and oversee them and direct them. And that is why these men are involved in the preaching and teaching of God's word and the direction of doctrinal issues. Because that is, they are part of the church body. So you get the sense that elders are caring, loving, gentle, and godly men, right? Involved in spiritual matters of the church. And in all of these sections of scripture that we looked at, all five of them, we did not see that the elders of the church set up a hierarchy of committees so that we can order the flowers and we can figure out what color carpet we want. We don't see the organizational structures set up there. What we see is people, God's people, being directed by the truth of God's word, by men who are setting an example of being like Christ for others to follow. That's why they're there. And we see that the role of the deacon is part of the physical matters of the church. We could sum up an elder's job description this way. Shepherd the church members like Jesus shepherded his disciples. Make teaching central to your ministry and make Jesus and the gospel the primary content of your teaching. In every decision, lead people toward knowing and trusting Christ. Let them see the character of Jesus exemplified in your own life. And take time to pray like Jesus took time to talk to the Father. That really sums up the job description, the functions and roles of the elder. Folks, God has designed leadership throughout history to care for his people. You can look back all the way to Genesis and throughout the scriptures that God has designed church or leadership to care for his people. And that is the application of the function and role of church leadership as the role of the deacon and the role of the elder. That's the application to us. We've studied the qualifications. We've studied the functions and roles of all of God, of God's leaders for his church, elders and deacons. And this church body is led by men with that desire to watch over, to guard, to shepherd, to protect you and me. I'm part of the church body as well. But that's their desire. And that is God's design plan for that to happen. That is a huge blessing, folks. Because when we struggle, when we go through trials and persecutions and different things and we are understood and we doubt and we don't know, you can go to the men who speak the truth from this pulpit right here and ask them. And they will guide you and they will direct you, not based on their opinion, not based on what they think, not based on a group of men and what they think, based on God's truth. And that is our desire. And that is, I don't know about you, but that brings me great peace when I sit in the pew under the teaching of the men who teach from this pulpit. So the qualifications and the functions and roles and the things that God lays out in his word, we are privileged to have, and we are privileged to design our church after that. It is our responsibility to do that. And that is a huge blessing to each of us who sit in these pews and sit under the teaching of these men. I praise God for that, and I hope you do too. It's an exciting thing to be part of God's people who have a heart to do things the way God designed them to do, to be done. That is a huge excitement, a huge privilege, and a huge blessing to each of us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that you designed the setup for church leadership and the way that you explained it through your word, so that we don't have to come up with it on our own, because we are broken men and we wouldn't be able to come up with something that would honor you. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to study your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. What a great song. That one day we will see face to face our Savior. I pray that you can sing that song and you are part of all. That you by faith have trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ and have a right relationship with God the Father because of that. That's the only way that we can sing all. That's the only way you can sing that song and be confident that you can be there. That one day. And I praise God that between now and that one day, He has given us His Word to guide us, to direct us. He has given us godly men to guide us and direct us and to be that example. And we were reminded of that today. And pray that you continue to study as you study through. We study through church leadership and study on these passages that we're talking about. So until next week, unless God comes back, and I pray He does. I don't have to preach next Sunday, so that's not the reason why. But I pray He does every day, because then we can sing that song face to face and see Him face to face. So we are dismissed. Have a great week.